welcome one and all once again to Duel Wielding for the final of our E3 segments. We're talking about Sony and the PlayStation family. Joining me this week, we have Daniel.
Hello.
We have Martin.
I no longer have chocolate on my pants.
And we have Dutch Sayer.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Okay, so Sony, because they love Europe so much, are the people who have their press conference in the dead of night for you folks. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty late for us. It is 9 p.m. Monday, June 13th or something like that. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. West Coast. That's like 2 a.m. for some of you folks.
It's better treatment than Nintendo gives us.
3:30.
You get it at, what, 5 in the afternoon? That's a great time.
Otherwise, in general.
But yes, I will be checking this out. Well, maybe. I have tickets for it. I may be going to the movie theater showcase again. I went last year, and it was, I think more than anything, it's just kind of the environment of being in there with people who kind of get excited about these announcements and hearing them react and stuff like that. Like, people always kind of mention the reactions you get in a press conference from the audience, but actual fans who are just kind of eager for a lot of stuff is really neat. At the same time, it also means that everybody can turn on the press conference at the same time. Like, it's one of the talking points this year is the Powers presentation from last year, which everybody seems to have hated.
Yeah, that was just awful.
Yeah, but the way people talk about it, like, I remember it differently. The actual segment that was Powers related was like 3.5 minutes long, but it felt like
3 hours. That was maybe the problem.
That's, yeah, because you have Brian Michael Bendis sitting, standing up, just talking and not doing anything else.
Some people can read the dictionary and it sounds interesting, and some people can talk about the most fascinating thing and sound terrible.
Right, and I think the other thing, besides, you know, Powers is the one that sticks out, but it was also in the middle of the presentation that was just kind of not focused on games, because I think that's also when they kind of mentioned the Ratchet & Clank movie, and there was a bunch of other initiatives. It's just the Powers is the thing that stood out, especially as somebody who, you know, you announced a TV show with nothing to show from the TV show. You didn't have any characters you were casting, or you didn't have any, like, footage.
Concept art. He had one piece of concept art. Don't be so mean.
Yes, concept art for a TV show is much different than concept art for a video game, because that means nothing. Just kind of to get this out there, I saw the first episode of Powers. It had no budget. That thing just looked awful. That show, and I would also not recommend watching.
Did you actually finish the first episode?
Yes, I finished the first episode.
Then you made it further than me.
And the sad thing is, I actually have the gaff thread on it, because it came out and nobody was talking about it. I'm like, can we make a thread? And I just kind of made it sit there. I'm like, I'm not going to watch this show. I'm not going to pay for it. The funny thing is also, I follow Brian Michael Bendis on Tumblr, and he's in love with the show, or he's marketing it. So, like, he's the reason I even remembered it would come up, because he would always kind of retweet everything on, like, Tuesday came out.
Have we got even access to Powers yet?
It's for free on PlayStation Plus.
And it's internally made, so they can distribute it worldwide.
No, they can actually. It's regional. It was really weird. Because you couldn't access it in, like, Canada. There's certain countries they couldn't do because of the TV rights or something or another. It's really strange how these things work out.
I thought it was made by Sony themselves, so they could distribute it around the network.
Yeah, but apparently they were not smart enough and sold some of the rights.
My god, they sold some of the rights, you idiots. At least I heard it was successful enough so they do a season 2.
See, in Germany, I think we were able to see it since March, I think. And then they put out, like, the first 2 episodes immediately, and then 1 episode a week or something like that.
Yeah, which I thought was an odd concept for a streaming show. But, I mean, I have the same beef with Community. I forget it exists, because
it's 1 episode a week, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not on TV where you're kind of bombarded by advertisements all the time. It's usually somebody has to remind you. And, because, you know, it comes out, like, I think Powers and Community is the same thing. They drop it, like, 3 a.m. in the morning for us. I'm not around then, and most people aren't talking about it, so it's usually literally in passing when it's like, oh yeah, there's a new episode today, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, it is Tuesday or whatever.
Yeah, that is truly stark contrast with something like Daredevil that came out at the right time and just before the weekend, you know, everybody was talking about it and watching it over the weekend, and
Though, I mean, it has its own downsides because then, I mean, people still talk, you know, but it's not talked about as much because everybody kind of watched it in April, and the internet has a very nice mentality of, which have you done for me lately? Daredevil was 2 months ago. Yeah, to move on, folks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, let's move on, folks.
It has a season two announced, right? So, it could be a thing this year.
It could be. I don't expect it to be. No. I guess they have a bunch of other shows in the works, but I can't imagine. No. Well, I said if they have. I'm not saying, I don't think they're going to. But if they do, I can see them having, like, due to the success of Powers TV, or have these shows as well, or these movies, or whatever. Sony has a lot of power behind it as far as the company goes, but I don't necessarily...
Please don't announce it at
E3. Yeah, I
announcement is fine, but not talking about it more than just saying, like, we have more shows coming to strengthen the PlayStation Network portfolio or something like that.
And on the same note, and just to kind of get all of this out, I also hope they don't do that stupid letters to Sony segment again.
The what? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
The part where they read off, like, oh, we'd really, like, they read the fan letters about, like, the games they wanted, and they're like, oh, yeah, we just happen to have this new zombie game for you.
Weren't those letters fake?
I assume so. Well, I mean, one was from Tim Schafer. Though, then again, I can imagine him writing letters to every publisher begging
them. I think that was just them trying cute. It's not real letters.
Oh, no, I think they actually do ask fans for them.
Yeah.
But if
they wanted to do that kind of fan interaction, they should leave that for the PlayStation experience.
Well,
or they would have a live Twitter feed and they would read off.
I don't think you ever want to read a live.
No, not live. No.
I would have. I'd have like a 10-minute delay on any Twitter. Yeah. But yes, let's kind of kick it off. We've discussed Microsoft and Nintendo already, and with both of them, we kind of noted that we have an idea of what the rest of the 2015 looks like. Sony is the opposite right now, and either they have an extremely barren 2015 remaining, or they have a ton of surprises up their sleeves. On paper, the only games they have for the rest of the year are Until Dawn, Tearaway Unfolded, God of War 3 Remastered. There's a rumored Uncharted collection, which I think has been all but confirmed. And I think Hellblade?
That's a downloadable title, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure about if it's 2015.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That game that you said that coming out in September, Martin. So
it's also a downloadable title, though.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess No Man's Sky is technically still a 2015 title.
Yeah, but. Again, downloadable titles. But if we talk like disc-based titles that people can buy in stores, then that was it. What you mentioned: two remasters.
And on that note, I mean, Sony did come out recently saying that their first-party lineup is pretty sparse. They're going to depend on third-party partnerships, and I think we'll see a lot of that come to fruition at E3. And for better or worse, Sony has proven the last 2 years you don't necessarily need a stellar first-party lineup to sell consoles.
No, so you really don't. You just need to be the best console with the best versions of those third parties.
Yeah, but I think at this point in time that a lot of people own either an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4. And there are a lot of people that own PCs. So, like, they need to keep pumping out first-party titles because, you know, if they want the people that bought Xbox Ones to buy PS4s as well.
The thing is, Sony has first-party titles, they're just not coming out at the end of this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So this is the thing, though, is we're, like, this is second year.
Well, we had big titles early this year.
Yeah, I mean, two biggish titles with Bloodborne and The Order, and I feel like The Order didn't stick the way people expected it to, both commercially and critically?
I didn't expect it, but
technically it was a big title.
It was a big title. But, I mean, you also have to realize that was a title that was pushed out of 2014 as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you said, this, you know, to Daniel's point, like, yes, you want a compelling first-party lineup, but it hasn't hurt them yet. And honestly speaking, it could work out in their benefit because usually the third year or so is when consoles peak, And if Sony's just kind of getting their house in order, and the third year is going to be when all their major first-party titles hit, that could be a way to re-energize the fan base and get, you know, drive momentum. Because it's weird in the sense that, and you know, this is going to be very isolated, because Europe does well, but if you get the numbers for North America and you get the numbers for Japan, even though Sony's PlayStation 4 is one of the fastest selling systems, it actually has no real momentum outside of Europe right now, which is really strange for a system. But it's continuing. It's outselling the Xbox One, and of course it's doing the apps around the Wii U. So it's really hard to criticize them because what they're doing is working.
I think next year is going to be the year in which Sony needs to realize that they can't keep riding off of this positive
launch hype.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, that's good for them because that's when, you know,
understand. I just really hope that those games do come next year because, you know, 2 years into the 360, we had Halo 3.
Well, I mean, if you look into any system the first 2 years, I would honestly say I think the PlayStation 4 is probably one of the weakest ones as far as the first-party output goes. I mean, yeah. The Dreamcast lasted all of, like, 2 years, and people still remember some of those games, Bungie.
And I think that Sony themselves really treat some of their partners as first-party. You know, they really tout themselves. Like, Destiny, for all sake, for Sony themselves last year was basically a first-party release.
Yeah, but
it wasn't. No, it wasn't in terms of the marketing, in terms of the release itself, but for them and how they treated it, and with all the content and having the betas and the alphas and everything like that, so for them it was treated internally like a first party.
And I get but at the same time, you need... Because it's weird. I mean, again, 2016 looks really positive, but it's weird because Sony spent so much of the PlayStation 3 era building up their first parties, because that was one of the criticisms of them during the PlayStation 1 and the PlayStation 2 era, is why they sold well. Their first party was pretty average, and then they built the PlayStation 3 around getting first party studios.
Yeah, very true.
And it's sad. I mean, part of it is that I don't actually know, because you can't even say their resources have been on the Vita or anything like that. So
they just have a lot of studios who haven't announced anything in a long time. So this could be a factor of just games take longer, and now they're just relying on, you know, on third parties and on smaller downloadable titles in the meantime to be able to fill the gaps until their first party is ready. Because, you know, you can say about them what you want, but at least they are waiting for most of their first parties to be able to be ready and then ship them.
Yeah, but see, that only works if the other two were, like, I mean, you can't say that Nintendo haven't had stellar first-party releases. Even Microsoft has had decent first-party releases in the same time period. And we won't mention the Halo Master Chief Collection too much, but...
Also, it's all a matter of perspective.
Yeah, and I said...
I wouldn't agree with you that Microsoft had stellar first-party...
I didn't say stellar. I said that they had decent first-party support.
Decent.
I mean, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't give first party support to either one of them right now.
Nintendo also took quite a while for them to take off.
Remember how
the first Wii U year looked?
If you compare the first year of the Wii U, you had 3D, the 3D World, you had Pikmin 3, you had Nintendo, and you had the wonderful 101. And I don't think there's anything on Sony. Like, Sony's a year and a half in, and I don't think they have anything that compares to that.
They have Bloodborne.
Okay.
Which, for me, beats all of those games.
which might be true, but, I mean, that's still one game. And that's 18 months compared to the first 12. And, you know, either way, let's kind of continue with Sony. And they're not a company that necessarily announces stuff at E3 that comes out in that year. So I don't expect them to pull, like, this game is coming out this year.
No, I don't suspect any big retail title to be announced and to be released this year. But what I do expect is for them to have tons of great titles that will be smaller and be probably available only as download. And I hope Shadow of the Beast will be good. and there are tons of more indie titles. I don't even all remember them because the last time they announced them, that was a very long montage.
Yeah, I was about to say, and again, this is an odd criticism, but I honestly do think they should cut back on the number of games they have this year, because I remember last year just watching them, like, I can't remember half the games they announced because there were so many, which is a great problem to have.
Hmm.
But they had so many, I'm just like, okay, we're done.
I think a factor also relies on, take GTA 5. I know it's come out before, but a lot of people are treating it, at least what I see in my own environment and what I read on a lot of message boards and just what I see from hearing from friends and family and everything like that. It's like a title like GTA 5 is treated by the people who buy that with a new PlayStation 4 as a basically first party release. They play it a lot, they play it online, and they basically think it as this is a game to get a PlayStation 4 for this is my current gen experience.
That's the problem though, is somebody like me, who I have a PC, so I don't, like, GTA 5, for example, I bought GTA 5 on PC, I need something to tell me why a PS4 is worth my time, and there isn't anything, and there probably won't be.
But you also have to accept that as a PC player, you are in the minority.
Yeah.
No, but I'm talking about people who own Xbox Ones as well, you know? There are people out there that own Xbox 360s and PS3s that still might feel the same, you know?
And I think that's going to be a hurdle for everybody to overcome. I think because we lost the middle tier development. There's like a lot of the AAA titles are not samey in the sense that they're all, you know, I don't want to say shooter boxes or anything like that, but it doesn't necessarily cater to a lot of people, and I think a lot of people have kind of settled on mobile being good enough. So it's going to take something. I think, you know, a lot of people have their hopes pinned on Morpheus and Arceus, the next wave of technology that's going to really start enticing people to look into these consoles as something more than just upgraded versions of last-gen games. And I think, and we said this before, we said this with HoloLens, it's really, really difficult to showcase that stuff if you haven't experienced it. So I can see Sony coming to E3 at Morpheus, but how do you sell that to people from a stage?
Probably not very well.
Well, and not only that, it's the people that are there in the room that will play the games afterwards aren't people that they want to sell the games to.
No, because they've already been sold, or they'll get it from Sony.
Yeah,
or they're industry people.
I was also going to say the people there have... But people have gone hands-on with Morpheus and Arceus, and they've said VR is good, so you're basically singing to the choir at that point, and that would be a really cool visual to just see everybody in the audience roaring them, but I don't think they're at the level where you can give a bunch of people VR headsets in the audience, so it might be something that they check out on as well.
Yeah. And as someone who's experienced multiple Oculus iterations, it's become fantastic device, but it's so hard to explain why that is until you actually tried it.
And I think that's going to be a hard sell for VR in general, in that it's something that's a very isolated experience, and it's hard to share with other people. Like, I guess you can demo it in stores, but I hardly like to touch the controllers in stores. I don't know about putting on a helmet. Or like
at least for the Oculus things, they clean it every time.
Yeah, so but you can't do that in the store.
You can't do that in the store.
Best Buy's not going to do that.
No.
And this is something we were talking about before the show started. By the nature of the design, I guess they go really, really, really high-end. VR isn't going to be as impressive visually as your standard AAA PlayStation 4 titles. So you can't necessarily sell it on the visuals of the title.
Yeah, because a lot of the computing power of the PlayStation 4 is being used to be able to render it on the headset itself.
It's basically just that because it's 3D, you have to render it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue. And with the hardware in there, it's possible but it's not going to look like the order.
Yeah.
It's basically impossible.
And I'm curious. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a bunch of third-party games that kind of feature Morpheus support. But I'm kind of curious to see
what... Indie titles will mostly, like, do that. I'm pretty sure they said Soma is going to support Morpheus, if I'm not mistaken. So,
The real problem with that is that most of those things are implemented fairly wrong. You know, most people don't actually see the potential, won't see the potential of the VR when it's just implemented into games that aren't designed for it.
Well, Soma was designed around
VR. Right,
yeah,
okay, sure,
so.
But I'm not talking about that, just talking about what Earl said, like, well, a bunch of third-party games will have support for it, you know? It's same as playing Mass Effect 3 or Mass Effect 2 with Kinect. You know, it's like, it's possible, but it doesn't show off the way it's, you know, you want it to be shown off.
I was also going to say, to that same point, and I guess it depends, I've been saying this for, but it's, as far as I know, Soma's a digital title? It's like, that's harder to kind of get through the mainstream because nobody advertises their digital platform on that level. Like, you have, you know, like, we'll have Trillers and we'll have the PlayStation blog and stuff like that. But I've never seen a commercial for your digital store and stuff like that. So I can't imagine many people rushing out to buy right now with a $400 system and then let's say, let's be conservative and say a $200 headset to buy a digital game.
To buy a $15 game, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be... Like, there's a lot of stuff that Morpheus can do, and I'm interested to see what it is, but the hardest thing to get Morpheus, and it's the same problem that 3D had when they were doing that, is like, how do you showcase that to people who either aren't on board yet or who won't get an opportunity to try this out for another year?
Yeah, I think they really need to roll out a comprehensive demoing this across, just talk about America for now, just demoing this across America for X number of time. To able to, if they really want to make that kind of a push. Or they just rely on the fact that the core buys it, shows it off to non-core folks around them, and that is convincing enough, like a we effect, basically.
The thing is, Earl, I don't disagree with you, and I don't know the solution to the problem of marketing we are, so I don't know.
Okay, I guess on the brighter side, what games would you showcase for Morpheus, or what games do you expect them to showcase for Morpheus?
I would probably show Soma, because that game is at least the game that's almost finished coming out in
and
September.
It has a pedigree, and it's a horror game.
Yeah.
Yeah, horror games on YouTube are all the rage right now, so...
I think, well, again, that's going to be the same issue. It's like, how do you replicate that on YouTube?
Well, seeing people playing the thing with the Oculus is pretty popular, at least and on YouTube. So,
okay,
that could be a thing. But
what
I mean,
Adrift is a VR title, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and of course, what we played, Marvin, the Eve guys who make the game.
But that's not on PS4. It's a problem.
I thought it was.
If they announce it, I could see Gran Turismo 7 being a big... Hey, maybe not necessarily Gran Turismo 7, maybe like a Gran Turismo 7 Prologue that supports the VR helmet. Because I think, you know, first-person racing cockpit view, that would be something that I think would interest... Or maybe a Gran Turismo 6 port.
I think that will be probably a version of that. That's a good thing. But I don't think that the full
game...
You are
actually right.
Could it handle that?
Eve Valkyrie has been announced for Morpheus.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay. That's I played that, and that was pretty awesome. So,
yeah, that's a fantastic experience.
That's something you could show off. I found a list of announced Morpheus titles. Should I just read them?
Sure.
Atom Universe. Never heard of it. Adrift.
Yeah, we heard of that.
Ark Survival Evolved. That was just announced recently. It's the dinosaur survival game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's the one I saw, and that kind of looks cool. Dinosaur
is
always
that's
awesome.
Pretty cool. Among the Sleep. That's a horror game. The Assembly. A name. Developed by N-Dreams. It tells me something.
Okay.
Then Cult County. Which is developed by Renegade.
Seriously, it's called that?
That game's never coming out.
Eve Valkyrie.
Wow. Eve Valkyrie, yeah, awesome.
Get Even. I don't know that.
Sounds like a bad movie title.
Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Yes, that's awesome.
That sounds like a Japanese translated title.
But it's supposed
to be Western made. Yeah.
One, Loading Human. I don't know.
A lot of these sound like they can also be porn titles.
Yes. Porn title, PlayStation Morpheus time.
Mind Path to Thalamus.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that game.
Omega okay. Agent. Project Cars.
Cool, I've played that.
Project Cars.
Yeah, I think racing would be really cool. I think a point and click adventure game would be really neat on that as well.
Cube 2.
Yes, because Cube 1 was so popular.
Yeah.
Apparently, Surgeon Simulator is getting its Morpheus up trend.
That would be a great game, and those graphics would perfectly fit.
I've played it with the Oculus. It's pretty great.
Synthesis Universe. Never heard of that one.
Like
same with the next one, Technolust.
Sounds like a porn title.
Just Add Water is working on an untitled project.
You're never going to see that.
Vanguard V.
I don't know.
And War Thunder is apparently also getting an upgrade for Morpheus.
So, with that, yes, I'm actually kind of curious if they would... See, I was going to say, maybe they would avoid showcasing and just kind of... Because that's a lot of games to kind of launch with. Or, you know, be there within the first few months or whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of VR games can't be sold on their graphics. So I don't necessarily know if that's the best route either. But it sounds like... it sounds like they have a ton of support there. And it's going to be more or less about getting people to try this out.
Yeah. That's what I would suspect as well. And that's, like we said, that is the hardest part.
Yeah, I really think they're counting on the core buying it just because, you know, they're the core. And then showing that off to non-core and family members and everything like that. And hoping that a percentage of them actually likes it enough to invest in this system.
Yeah.
See, I probably
like being like ambassadors.
Yeah, I just feel like that might take a while. It really depends on the games because, like horror games and racing games sound cool and all, but I don't necessarily know if those are the games that you're going to get your mom or your roommates to try. And I do think the biggest thing is for a lot of people.
It's cool, but it's not like $600 plus cool.
Yeah. I always had my doubts about VR adoption, so I'm curious in general how all these headsets will be adopted, to be honest. I think the whole tech is cool, and I had fun playing with it. I'm just skeptical in general when it comes to adoption of those things.
I think adoption is going to happen more outside of the realm of gaming at first. I think in a Facebook book, Oculus, that was the first major step towards that because, you know, like I can see like a VR movie or something like that, or like an arcade, you know, something you pay at like Six Flags or something like that, instead of like buying dedicated hardware for it. And I don't think it's something that's going to be this gen. I do think this gen sets the seeds for something that hopefully grows next gen.
Probably.
I want Sony to prove me wrong. I want them to come out there with a ton of amazing games and a great way to showcase this.
Which would be cool, but like we said, it's difficult with VR.
Any bets on the name or price?
I feel like they would just go with something like the PlayStation Helmet. Well, not the PlayStation Helmet, but I feel like they like that PlayStation branding.
Mm. Yeah, because it's Sony's strongest branding, so...
Yeah, so I think something like that...
And price range.
Move two.
And price range, it has to be 200 of. Probably closer to $300.
Okay,
depending on how much they are willing to. You know, are they willing to sacrifice, you know, pricing it lower and losing money but having more adoption? Or having it be higher priced, less adoption but losing less money on it?
I was about to say, the history of Sony is that they'd rather have a high price system. And I don't just mean their video games. This is their model for TV and laptops and Walkman and all that other stuff. Sony has always kind of been a premier hardware company. So maybe they change it because they've been losing money, but who knows? I was also going to ask, Yeah, you mentioned the price of the, you know, like you say conservative view, $200-$300. This isn't included in the system, and you also need the move and the camera, right?
No. I think
most of the move things are doable with the DualShock 4, depending, okay, of course, on what they want to do.
You
but
definitely don't need the move. The move is just was just that some demos used the move,
okay,
to do things. You can just play with the gamepad and the Morpheus.
Okay. Well, I guess it depends, because I don't look at my controller. I was just to say, for like other people, like more, yes, seasoned gamers, I guess, you know, like some people may still look down at the controller and stuff like that. We'll see. I guess moving on from Morpheus, is there anything else you folks want to
talk about? Any guesses on the name? Anyone else?
No. No idea.
Do you think we'll get a final name here?
Not a price
it's coming
date,
out
I think Q1 name,
2016, yeah. So probably?
I mean,
name is far more likely than the price or date, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because they still have, what, Tokyo, not Gamescom, what's it,
Tokyo Game Show, Paris Game Show, and PlayStation Experience before Q1.
Yeah, I could see, well, we might get a name, I think, just to give, I mean, we have something to call it, but yeah.
It would be weird to have it on an E3 stage to still talk about it, code names.
I think it's just going to be PlayStation VR. That's just,
I mean,
you know, simple, direct.
I was going to say, we got Project Natal, and that was a code name.
Well, that's also Microsoft. They're weird.
Yeah, very weird. okay, so we kind of mentioned their gap in 2015. We mentioned Morpheus. 2016, though, no, looks really interesting for them.
You mean 2016, you mean what potentially could be announced? Oh, wait, yep. Continue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And endgame has already been announced.
Yeah, we already know Uncharted 4 got moved to the air.
And now there's a January to March window.
Right now. We know Ratchet & Clank Remastered, Remake, whatever, has been pushed to 2016 as well.
It's a remake.
Okay. To coincide with the movie's release. I assume this is 2016's year of the Asgardian.
I want to believe.
Street Fighter V.
I at this point no longer care.
No, I still care.
Not
a lot, but I care.
This is what I've always been curious about, and this is something I asked Asher in the air before. I don't get what people saw in the Asgardian. Not that it looks like a terrible game. But
people
the fact that
saw
people
a new game.
What do you mean? What, not that it looks like a terrible game. It doesn't look like a game at all. We got a trailer.
That's what I meant. It's like they didn't really show anything that people are so dedicated to it.
Well, they saw
6 years
ago.
Have you played Eco?
I understand the pedigree of the company.
There you go. Then there you understand why people got hyped for the game.
I get why people got hyped.
I honestly think that the trailer, the 2009 trailer, showed to me at least, showed some emotion in a 3-minute trailer that most games don't show in an entire game.
Okay, even then, I get that. I don't get the faith that people have held out on this game for 6 years.
Because
about.
The people
I don't know where you're looking, but I haven't seen anybody.
Shadow of the Colossus are just really fucking dedicated. That's it.
It's become an internet thing, you know. Well, it's like hanging on to a tangible thing. They want to hang on to something that is going to be amazing.
I would hang on. I mean, I would hang on to Agent before I hung on to the Asgardian.
But that's you.
Yes, that
Agent.
I mean,
people hung on to Duke Nukem Forever, and look how that turned out. We've got a fantastic game. It rewrote the rule book on how to design first-person shooters.
Best game for everybody.
Just wait. The Last Guardian will come. It'll be the best game ever made and ever to be made, and there you go.
Ever to be made.
I mean, more often than not, we've been disappointed by... Like, Too Human was another game that people held out for.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I don't disagree with you that usually games that get delayed forever don't turn out well. That's actually par for the course with games like that. I'm just telling you that it's quite easy to understand why some people love it, are so dedicated.
But I got why they were early on, but year after year after year of, okay, this is the year, this is the year, okay, it's moving to a new system, this is the year. It's like, at some point, I would wait until they re-showed that game before I put any stock into it.
Yeah, like I said, I no longer care. What else?
So, yeah, Earl, so what's 2016? Guerrilla. Let's talk about
Street Fighter. Street Fighter is a thing.
Oh, right. Street Fighter's all been enough. Okay, yeah.
Hopefully this one won't be broken.
Well, it's not developed by Sony, so it should be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, Ultra Street Fighter isn't developed by Sony, but they paid
the 5 voltage or something.
Maybe they should have given more than $10 to the developer.
Yeah, as I said, and again, I hate sounding a bit, but I think it was one of those cases of sometimes I think Sony cares more about announcing stuff than they do what the final product is, because this is the third or fourth title that they've ported that has kind of been iffy. They had the Borderlands 2 Vita port. They had
to this day, I don't understand why that thing even exists, because
the idea of
porting Borderlands to a Vita is like ridiculous to me.
Okay,
they announced it.
I'm gonna forgive the Borderlands Vita port, because that was Randy Pitchford being Randy Pitchford,
and
the Vita was never designed for a game like Borderlands 2 in the first place.
Way too open, and way too... The world couldn't be rendered.
Whereas what they do with Street Fighter, they took a game that ran on a PS3 and they made it run on... it ran on a PS3 just fine, and they ported it to a more powerful system, and it runs like crap now.
And
so,
has bugs.
That's what I mean by runs like crap.
Yeah, well, it has input delay, has... has like moves not working properly and stuff like that.
And just a few months for the biggest fighting tournament in the world is not a smart idea.
Yeah,
but that's a different situation. It's not even like Sony is personally doing it. It's like they probably thought the ocean is cheap. Let them do it.
Yeah, but that shouldn't happen, especially being that them and Capcom, because they put the $500,000 in the Capcom Cup.
I'm not saying what they did is right, do I? I'm just saying that's probably what happened.
And it's a really, really weird missed opportunity, because, you know, Evo's coming up, and a lot of those folks are sticking to old console, because, you know, those kinds, they play for those kinds of tournaments.
Sony, old Sony console, they're using the 360 version.
And now they're using 360 again, yeah.
Yeah, so Sony got to pay for a port that really serves them no purpose at this point.
Yep.
But yes, what else does the PlayStation 4 have in 2016? What remains of Edith Finch?
Isn't it this year?
Not that I'm seeing on Wikipedia.
Okay. I thought it's this year because I just recently read something about that game by someone, but okay.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at. And then there's a bunch of multi-platform games. So you might see Dead Island 2 again. That was at their conference last year.
I wonder if we will see it again.
You don't think so?
I don't know. With such a big delay,
I could
see that game not showing up until at least Gamescom.
I imagine if, I don't know if this, I mean, Persona 5, I can see us.
Oh, right, I totally forgot that. Yeah, I hope that's going to be a big focus.
Should be.
If it wasn't
coming to Europe in 2025.
Yeah. at least this time it's going to be code free, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you know, we kind of talked about their first party, but for exclusive, they also have Dragon Quest Heroes this year.
October 13th, apparently, because Square had that date on there, and as soon as people noticed, they took it down again.
That's usually a confirmation, yeah.
I feel like is that Assassin's Creed week, or... I feel like there's another big title coming out.
All
there.
Of them. No, it's November. It's so booked already. It's
Rainbow Six week.
Crazy.
Oh, okay, Rainbow Six week.
Maybe it's Rainbow Six and Assassin's Creed week.
Sure, why not? There's Ubisoft month
it
for
is Ubisoft.
All. There's Ubisoft month.
Yeah.
Yay!
I mean, Ubisoft has sometimes have those days where like 50 games come out at the same time.
Yeah.
And they wonder why Rayman doesn't sell.
Are you telling me? No, I've got to interrupt you there. Are you telling me that putting Rayman on the same day as the biggest shooter of the year on the Xbox 360 was a bad idea? I can't believe you would insinuate such a thing.
It was a fantastic idea, and they should be commended for that. We already know that Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15 are or aren't at E3.
Are not.
Okay, so that's not going to be there.
At least Kingdom Hearts, we can be sure that they're not going to be there, but Final Fantasy 15, there might be something. At least
Deep Down is 20... Wait, not Deep Down. What is Dragon Dogma Online? There we go.
Trailer and more gameplay at the... at the Square Enix event.
Deep Down, I don't suspect.
DayZ?
Yeah, Dragon's Dogma is 4C, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's Dragon's Dogma. No.
That game is not coming out ever.
That game is not even coming out on PC yet, so
yeah,
we're not going to see it.
It's been in development for like 3 years, and they said something like 2017, so,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, okay.
Don't expect that anytime soon.
So, I mean, again, that doesn't... Oh,
want
what
to talk about
the
rumored games already, or...?
Wait, what about the David Jaffe game? That, shooter?
Yeah, Drawn to Life.
Oh, please, no.
No, not Drawn to
Life. No, Drawn to Life is the handheld game. Okay, before we get to the... Is there anything we want to say about Sony's recently announced legacy platform?
Maybe she's a real... If you're lucky.
No, nothing.
No, nothing?
I suspect nothing.
Okay. Maybe a price drop for the system, maybe like $150.
I mean, the thing is, if they want to show off Morpheus, that's already taking up a bunch
of... Yeah. Another hardware.
So
no, that's true.
Why waste time on the legacy
platform? Yeah. No, fair good point.
The legacy platform, formerly known as the
clearly not a priority anymore.
Well, let's be honest, it hasn't been a priority since it was announced. But, okay, so, rumored PlayStation 4 stuff.
Yeah.
No, apparently no.
I suspect, like, we will see the Guerrilla Games RPG thingy that they have been working on, which apparently involves dinosaurs and is science fiction game at the same time.
Open world. Yeah.
And open world.
So to say,
it
if it involves science,
be very interesting.
Kind of,
very excited.
Kind of science fiction. In. But, okay. Anything else? I mean, I keep on hearing rumors of like a Gran Turismo 7 that's always popped up.
Well, but the thing is, the concept art that we saw was like dinosaurs with like machine parts on them and stuff.
Media Molecule?
Yeah, we haven't heard from Media Molecule basically since the PS4
reveal.
Yeah, so
and that wasn't really a game anyway. That is just a demonstration of them being weird in my book.
And the weirdest thing about it was that it was all with the Move, and the Move is at this point dead.
Legacy platform number one.
Yeah, exactly.
One is legacy
yeah.
platform number two.
What about David Cage? Because he was talking about a game during
right.
the...
Right. That's actually a pretty good suggestion, yeah.
Could be.
It's never a pretty good suggestion when you involve David Cage.
Oh, no, but suggestion that he will be at E3. No, I don't particularly like his games either, but still.
Yeah, I mean, Beyond
two,
is a year and a
half. Three souls.
Wait, yeah. When did they... Yeah, they showed off the... Their weird demo, I think, at the PlayStation reveal, and
yes,
then
that's true.
And
the
then
sure guy.
At E3 they didn't show anything, if I remember correctly,
yeah.
right?
They did they shown the Kara thing.
Yeah, and
the sorcerer thing.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe a game from Quantic Dream is something that could be in the pipeline.
If nothing else, it's been 18 months since Beyond, so they've had plenty of time to work
yeah.
on something. to showcase.
Yeah.
And Beyond PS4, was that now released or
nope.
Hasn't that come out yet?
Nope.
It's something that people have been saying for ages and they just haven't.
It was
happened.
Box art at Amazon and stuff like that.
It hasn't been announced officially yet, but it's been a rumor since last year.
Yeah.
And it's
so the thing is, it could be a case of like David Cage coming on stage this year and being like, "Yeah, we are working on this thing, and while waiting, here's the Beyond remaster, or something."
Yeah.
No, I feel like it might be a bit redundant if you have the Ratchet and Clank remake, you have the God of War 3 remastered, you have the Uncharted collection, and then you roll out Beyond.
These platforms apparently take all the remasters they can get, so I don't know.
Okay, there's also, what, the Journey one over the summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I truly hope I really hope that Journey is like a thing. Like, and you can download it right now. I really hope that.
Yeah, speaking of, like, I really did not hear much about Intertwined after that year.
Entwined.
Because it was,
It wasn't very great.
I assume what else is there? Like, I imagine like the third party stuff, we'll see Battlefront here.
Yes.
Yeah, well, all the Sony partnerships, so Battlefront, potentially Call of Duty.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, is Assassin's Creed like with Sony this year?
No, last year it was with Microsoft. Unity was with Microsoft last year.
I can't keep up with this stuff. It's difficult
to keep track of these things, I know.
They're pretty big at the sports. They usually have the NBA 2K guys there.
True.
And of course Destiny.
Don't they usually also have like the FIFA guys there?
Sure.
You know what we could actually see is Sony also had no problem like putting a PGA Tour on stage. And since we haven't really seen anything from that game, could be a title.
Yeah, could be one.
Destiny expansion. I could see that happening.
Yeah. I guess to me, and this is the same issue I have, it gets going to be really redundant to see Destiny and Batman, since Destiny's already out and Batman's right there, but
and Destiny was at the reveal, and we've had Destiny every year since the reveal, and it's...
The thing
like,
is, Destiny is a big deal.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
I don't understand how
for the people who play it,
and people want to know about that expansion, so Destiny it is.
Maybe some more.
You have to accept that some games are just more than their release at this point.
Oh yeah, I've gotten that. I just think from Destiny, it's just kind of because that it was at the PlayStation Experience, it was at last E3, it was at the reveal, it was at the reveal at E3.
But that's what games are now. We don't get many big titles.
Activision is treating Destiny as a 10-year platform, so you will be hearing plenty of Destiny at every convention for the next 9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still don't see the 10-year stuff working out, but, it works for them. Like, it seems like an MMO in that they have a very dedicated group of players, and then everybody else doesn't care.
That's very true.
That's a good way of putting it, to be honest.
Yeah, that is essentially it, because the people who are still playing it are truly dedicated and truly putting in the time, and every time there's an update and every time there's news, they are talking about it and they want to play, and yes.
I technically own the second expansion. I haven't touched it.
I technically own Destiny, and it's still unopened, so... I could be one of those people in no time if I've opened the game. Any other remasters?
Yeah, they have a lot of European studios who haven't announced stuff in a long time, but most of them are rumored to be working on Morpheus stuff.
Well, they also have, I think Capcom's also working on another unannounced game for them.
Okay, I didn't know that it was a Sony thing.
I think that's the rumor. And, rumors, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be true, but rumors have been circulating about them possibly getting Resident Evil 7 exclusive.
I don't know after the last one that's a big yet for them.
And it's risky business.
6 sold extremely well.
No,
it may not be the one people like, but it sold extremely well.
It sold off the backs of the good games.
Well, I mean, the one before 5 is the second best-selling one in the franchise, so
5 is decent.
And
my
5
is like,
not a bad game.
Yeah. 5 is actually my favorite, but that's a whole different discussion for another day.
Yeah, sure.
I like the co-op aspect of it, so.
Yeah, co-op was fantastic.
But we haven't mentioned God of War 4, I guess.
I think God of War 4, much like the God of War Remastered stuff, it's like, yes, it's God of War, we get it.
I truly hope that they'll basically have the God of War concept, what with a different character and different mythos and stuff like that. That would be at least more interesting, and maybe having the same gameplay aspects, but having it be like maybe in title the same, but not having it be the same setting and the same character. Just move on from the Greek mythos and move on from Kratos.
Yeah, the thing, like Petrine said, for a lot of the European Sony series, it's like, and technically for some of the Japanese studios, we have no clue what they're doing. Because they could be working on some sequel, but it being Sony, they could also be working on some new IP. And some of the European studios, probably on Morpheus, I suspect like Guerrilla Cambridge is probably going to do something for the Morpheus, I would assume.
Yeah.
Because main Guerrilla is doing their RPG thing. I don't know about Japan. I mean, will we hear about GT7?
Yeah, good one, yeah. GT7, yeah. We talked a little bit before the show. Maybe a prologue thing, like showing you, like, we are working on it, but showing the real GT7 now, I think their game development time, at least in recent history, has been so long before they release something. I wouldn't imagine them like saying, like, yeah, GT7, and, you know, it's coming out next year. That's too soon for them.
And what about the rest of Japan studios? I mean, we had Knack.
Knack 2. Yeah.
Knack Revenger.
I'm just saying, I suppose they are working on something over there, right?
When was the last time we had a Hot Shots golf game?
That has been announced already.
Okay, so that's one.
Yes, but I don't.
That Guardian they've been working on for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I guess they technically do GT7, so they're pretty busy.
Yeah, but beyond that, something?
And I assume that Studio Japan will have one or two downloadable titles. Maybe not like it's coming out soon, but at least a trailer for them. They have been heavy on the downloadable front as well.
Well, I mean, based on the kind of movement, it seems like it should be Sony Europe times to shine, because Sony of America was kind of busy the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And Sony Japan is a much smaller output.
Yes.
So, yeah,
but
I think,
like we said, Sony Europe mostly probably Morpheus, because whenever you've seen like some accessory thing for a PlayStation console come out, be it the
iPad,
the PlayStation Eye or the PlayStation Move, mostly the support that's coming out games wise for these things is always for European studios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I suspect like Morpheus will probably gobble up most of the European studios' time, except
there's
for
a good
Guerrilla.
Reason for that. I do know why that is, but yeah.
Okay, let's try to do this scientifically speaking. I have a list of Sony studios, and there's like, okay, what is Studio Bend up to?
Oh, Bend, yeah. Okay, they are interesting. We haven't heard from them since.
Jeez. According to this, Uncharted Fight for Fortune, which is the Vita
Vita Uncharted. No, that was the Vita Uncharted title.
No,
Golden Abyss
was
the
Vita.
No, Golden Abyss. No, did the
they
card
had a card
title.
Title.
Yeah. Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did.
There has been rumors of them. I mean, technically, I don't really think it's a rumor, because there have been like job appointments and stuff for them doing a next-gen title years ago, so I suspect they're working on something PS4.
Okay, we know what Naughty Dog.
I personally hope the return of the glorious return of Siphon Filter, but Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, that also been rumored for a long time that they were working on Seinfeld, but still.
Yeah.
The Undying Studio does nothing but SingStar crap.
Yep.
Evolution just had Drive Club?
Drive Club, and they have been...
Yeah, cut it, basically.
And yeah, so they are just there to support Drive Club at this point.
We already mentioned Guerrilla Games and Media Molecule.
Yep.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess that's that? I didn't realize that their first party output, the third party studios were so tiny now.
Yeah, it's...
Because Studio Liverpool's gone.
They closed a bunch
of studios. They closed a lot last gen.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not just Microsoft who has been closing first party studios.
No.
Yeah, but Microsoft is the one who gets a lot of crap for it.
Yeah, it's been everyone kind of closing these studios. It's not just because they don't want to do first party. It's just games have become expensive. You want to do big titles. You can't do that many every year.
It makes more sense to partner with the studio that already exists, so you don't have to necessarily pay them for everything, instead of creating your own, which is what a lot of people do. I mean, they work with a lot of, you know, Rad is a big one, and that's not first party.
Yeah.
They're working with Insomniac Games now, again, on Ratchet. That's not a first party anymore.
Now, you could say they are also now a regular partner with From Software.
From Software, even though they just announced a 3DS game.
Oh, right. From Software, Bloodborne expansion.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably a thing that they can show.
I was going to say, pretty much confirmed that already.
It's confirmed, but I would also say that's something they could probably show.
Yeah.
I would assume that's something they have been working on basically after the base game has been finished.
I mean, and you know, PlayStation Canada is posting about a Ratchet versus Jax thing, so that could be either a sequel to PlayStation Heroes on the Move, or maybe a new... A new crossover title? Maybe PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2?
Sure.
A nice laugh.
Sure. It could also just be some kind of downloadable title, who knows?
Yeah.
Or it could just be bullshit.
we didn't even mention the Fat Princess game that they announced, the free-to-play title, I believe it is?
I don't remember, to be honest.
Okay, that shows how well you people got Fat Princess.
Do you expect any big third party gets for like a release window or something like that, like the Tomb Raider turned out for
at least timed exclusive?
Yeah,
I mean,
something like
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter is exclusive.
Yeah, except when we discount PC.
I mean, they've been, I don't necessarily know if it's true, but I do feel like they've been hinting at a Shenmue 3 possibly.
That's internet crazy talk. You better go back to your Last Guardian.
At this point, Shenmue 3 is like more outrageous than saying The Last Guardian is coming out next year.
I know, I'm just saying what people have pointed towards because they had that whole thing at GDC and stuff like that.
Of course.
That was just... Jesus Christ. People need to understand that Mark Cerny is just buddy-buddy with him and that's why he did it.
Maybe Viv Ribbon...
I would love something with Vid Ribbon.
It would be great. Like a downloadable Vid Ribbon. Who could read your Spotify or something like that.
Yeah. We have Spotify on PS4, so with Spotify integration, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
but I mean, but as far as like, and this is the same kind of discussion I had this week with the whole Microsoft buy Silent Hills rumor, which was complete BS, is that there aren't a ton of franchises that are kind of out there for the getting.
No, usually the titles you get as an exclusive are the ones that have an established fan base, but are not big enough that it would burn a big hole in your pocket.
Yeah, and
publishers would never allow you to go full-on first party.
Why you get something like Street Fighter V as an exclusive. The fighting community is quite large, but not that large. But it's not Call of Duty large.
Yeah, I can't see a Call of Duty. I can't see an Assassin's Creed ever or GTA ever going exclusive. There's
no
reason for that. But yeah, and there aren't a ton. Like, I mean, possibly Dragon Quest XI. that would be a big get for them, and that's a franchise that tends to be exclusive to a system.
But Dragon Quest is like exactly the kind of game where they usually go to the biggest platform in Japan.
In Japan, yeah.
Yeah, but if you have
PS4 money. Is doing terrible numbers in Japan, so.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it would go to the theater before
if you want to do the biggest platform in Japan,
it's
then
mobile.
It would be a mobile title.
Yeah.
Yes. It would be mobile, 3DS, Vita, then the PlayStation 4. Well, eventually, I think the Wii U still had the bigger install base, but the PlayStation 4 will eventually catch up in about 2 years.
Yeah.
That's how bad both of those systems are selling. It's like, it's not a race, it's just a really, really, really tiny sprint.
Yeah.
It's like watching two snails go at it.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, that could be a big get, especially being that Square Enix seems to open up their eggs for anybody who has a good, decent check for them.
That's why I also doubted, like, Resident Evil being exclusive, by, because Resident Evil already, I'm like, that's probably too big over time.
Yeah, but, I mean, Capcom has no problem selling Resident Evil before. They've done exclusive titles on the 3DS, they've done exclusive titles on the Dreamcast, they've done exclusive titles on the GameCube.
And they have to remember that Capcom is hurting right now.
But
they
the thing is,
to make these games.
When RE4 happened, that was still when RE wasn't RE5.
It wasn't as... Yeah, it wasn't as big, but...
And on top of it, I would say, like, the other titles you mentioned, they're all not mainline titles. So if you would tell me we will get an exclusive Resident Evil spin-off, that's something I could potentially see.
Or expansion, or downloadable content first, or content first.
Well, I think you would get a big game first, because, I mean, we just had Resident Evil Revelation 2, which a lot of people don't mention, but... And they just announced Resident Evil Zero, and that is just a weird one because it's literally on, well, it's on everything that isn't Nintendo, and I'm surprised they're announcing a PS3 and 360 title for 2016.
They just because they can, and they want to spread their bases, and if it doesn't sell well on next gen, then maybe they'll say, current gen, sorry, and well, they'll sell on, at least on last gen, enough to make back the money.
Probably not much effort put in either, so.
Yeah.
So, when it comes to exclusives, I don't know. I suspect more like lots of third-party partnerships.
Yeah, like, partnerships and indies.
Yeah, I think even in the West, almost all of our big franchises are kind of divvied up between Microsoft and Sony as it is. So there
Is, we will have some big franchises coming back this year, and I could see Microsoft and Sony fighting over them, like Doom, Fallout.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a huge one. I could see them fighting over Dishonored.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will do the downloadable thing first, or a thing with the console, or getting something.
And Bethesda
is
not beyond that. I mean, Fallout 3 has
it's
free money from your first party
partner. Nobody's beyond that. The only thing people, I think, are beyond are straight up making it exclusive, because I think it is a really hard market not to have it on both systems, that somebody's tripping your bill.
Because the difference that the first party can give you in the money they can give you can never be enough for them to be able to sell on any platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what the market situation is right now. Except if you are in this middle ground like Street Fighter is. But even not truly exclusive, because it's still coming to PC.
Yeah, and even then, it's like, it's a huge get for Sony, but not necessarily a huge loss for Microsoft, because Street Fighter sells well, but it's not a huge franchise.
Yeah, it's like, what Street Fighter 4 was like, in the 2 to 4 million range, probably?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's the most storied, but I think Mortal Kombat sells better, I think Tekken does better.
Oh, Mortal Kombat, definitely. Mortal Kombat is the best-selling fighting game franchise right now.
Tekken hasn't been huge in a very long time.
Maybe they'll get Soul Calibur 7 or whatever up to 6.
And Tekken, I don't know. Tekken isn't doing that well these days, I think.
Yeah.
But
Tekken 7 is a game that, could have a 3 review at a console. Okay, so it could see them coming to Sony, like saying, well, you know, it's like not basically having an exclusive, but being on stage and saying, like, we're coming to PS4. And,
exactly.
Oh, yeah,
not to mention Tekken 7, that's a possibility to see, because if I'm not mistaken, the hardware...
Yeah, the PS version is done.
The Tekken 7 hardware is also basically a PS4, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. The arcade cabinet, I mean.
So, I mean, that, you know, I guess to sum up our Sony thoughts, Miyata Morpheus...
Yep.
Miyata third-party collaborations and content. Yep. Maybe we'll play the Kyle Bossman drinking game for any time they say content or exclusive.
Oh, that sounds like
not
a bad idea.
2:30 in the morning.
That's the best time to do it because you can just pass out right afterwards. I can do it. Last year, my friend bought bought beers to the conference. I didn't think about that. But, yeah. And, I mean, for us going and anybody else out... Well, for me going and anybody else out there, we're also supposed to get a 30-minute post-show with Jeff Keighley. Now, you might think this is super exciting, but Ash's post-show was just pretty much... Like, there was no new games. It was just interviews with the people... It was longer interviews with the people who created some of the big games. I think it was, like, No Man's Sky. There was a part on Battlefield Hardlines and something on, like, Arkham Knight. And stuff mm-hmm. like that, so you didn't miss out a
ton. Jeff Keighley, the only video game journalist in the world.
See, I don't even consider him a journalist, and I don't mean that in the derogatory term.
He's an entertainer.
Yeah, he's
the only guy who's apparently fit for TV.
There are two people who are fit for TV, apparently. It's Jeff Keighley, and it's Chris Hardwick. Mm-hmm. Because, I swear, Chris Hardwick, I don't know when he sleeps. He's in everything. It freaked me out. When I was watching the Wreck-It Ralph Blu-ray, and if you leave it paused for a long time, he pops up and starts giving trivia facts.
Okay. Wow.
I'm like, what the hell is he doing here? But yes, Jeff Keighley, because he did the Sony thing, and then he hosted the Smash Brothers tournament last year, and it's like, yeah, he gets around.
That's his job. He is basically, he did Gamescom Konami thing last year. He's basically, his job is to pitch them ideas to be able to present himself, basically. That's a pretty great idea, actually. It's like, I'll pitch you to be able to be, to show me as on TV or screens as possible. But he doesn't write for any outlet or something. He does his own thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, hopefully this is a fun event. Hopefully there's more free swag. Well, I'm sure there is going to be free swag. I don't know what it... Maybe it's an Uncharted 4 beta invite this year.
Then I will get that.
Then you will get... Hey,
that's probably region locked.
Whatever, I have a US account. I don't give
a shit. Okay, yeah, sure. just saying. Also, you're going to buy that remaster, right? Right?
No. I'm spending money on remasters.
Yeah. I guess we'll figure that out at E3. Somebody mentioned, like, what would they do for the multiplayer for the Uncharted collection? Like, is it going to be 2 or 3? Or is it a combination of the two?
Or
is it going to be broken for 3 months?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you still on the Hell? Hey, they gave us ODST this year. They gave it to us on time.
You're never going to let that go. Nope.
I completely agree with him, though. I mean, I can understand if it was broken at launch, but honestly, it's still like 6 months, and it's still maybe 90% there.
Yeah, I know it's still patchy, but the point is it didn't work at all for 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the old games.
Yeah.
Drive Club worked quicker.
Yeah,
just
but saying. It still shouldn't be a thing where it's like they one worked quicker than the other when they both didn't work at launch. Okay, so
video games,
right?
This is
for our E3 coverage. Well, I mean our pre E3 coverage. We'll be back with the post E3 wrap up once E3's done, and we'll award points based on some random arbitrary skill we create on how awesome these conferences were. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been watching E3.
Can we do a thing this year and not grade for conferences?
We never grade the conferences.
Oh, we don't?
We don't.
It's awesome.
I have to say, I've been watching E3 for. I guess,
because
15
that's
years
the dumbest
now?
Thing to me, always.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this is how it always breaks down. Microsoft has some stuff I'm interested in, Sony has some stuff I'm interested in, Nintendo has some stuff I'm interested in. All three have stuff that I didn't like about their conference. Everybody's going to pick their favorite based on the system they own and invested most in anyhow. This is how it always works. It's not science. It's like, oh yeah, I'm really interested in these 12 games Sony announced. I'm really interested in these 10. Yes, we get it.
It has to be really bad, like Sony 2006 bad, to be able to say for a Sony fan that the Microsoft One is better.
Yeah, but even when they're bad, well, depends. They're usually bad in such a way, because everybody remembers Sony's 2006 press conference.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could tell you what happened in Sony's 2008 press conference or the 2013 press conference.
Nope.
But you remember the 2006 one because a lot of stuff came out of that. The same way like the everyone with the bottom of an avatar foot like stuff from 2010 in Microsoft.
Yeah, Project Natal, that was awesome.
Yeah, or Nintendo and that Robbie Drummer from 2008.
Yep.
Those are the moments that
Cammy
E3 that stands out.
Cammy
Dunaway dying at the first Goomba.
Everyone will always remember Mr. Caffeine.
Yes, Mr. Caffeine. Those are the things that you remember. You don't remember, this cup.
No, the true content
had...
of X, Y, or Z, no.
I don't
except
remember
for maybe the
content.
Portal 2 announcement at the PS3, because that was actual shock. But still.
Yeah, I don't remember the content of most of these conferences the week of. I just remember the things that stand out, the broad points, and the entertaining points. And that's really what the point of a press conference is for us, because we're not
for us, not for them, but for us.
We're not investing in these companies, which is really what these things are for. It's for people to be like, we have confidence in this system. This is what we're going. This is our game plan. For us, it's like, this looks cool. This looks cool. This doesn't look cool. Okay, you're spending way too much time on that.
Yep.
So yes. I can honestly say, like, there's been some meh year, but I can honestly say there's no year of E3 that I'm like, I completely hated everybody's show.
No.
I'm pretty sure there was one Microsoft year where I was really down on them.
It might
have been the year after Project Natal was shown.
Well, there are years when you're up and down on a console maker.
No, I was really, really down on them, because I'm pretty sure there was the conference, they showed Project Natal that one year, and then after that year, Kinect was actually coming out, and I thought all the Kinect shit was fucking terrible.
Okay, like, I remember I was down on Sony's 2005 press conference, which everybody brings to the 2006 one. Watch the 2005 one. It's only an hour
really
of them doing
bad.
So much
PowerPoint. It's insane. Half of it was PowerPoint.
Yeah.
I was not keen on Nintendo's 2012 one with the whole... Because that was the weird one when they're in between the Wii and the Wii U and had no idea what to talk about. No, 2011.
For me, it would be Nintendo would be the 2008 one with Wii Music and shit.
Yeah, that was bad in a different way in that the games didn't cater to us, but the show itself was entertaining because, I've always said, entertaining in a terrible way, like how I like Street Fighter the movie, in the sense that those, are, it's like, I, motion
you
games,
love. You can
dance
love
game, with... yeah, all that stuff always makes great shows because nobody knows how to present it well, because you always want to present it like you're presenting to your mom, like, isn't this cool? Like, they're dancing and they're moving and they're doing all this crazy stuff, and nobody does that at home.
It because it's a marketing thing, they can't be bored showing that off.
Yeah. Microsoft, I would probably say it was 2010, because 2009 they introduced Project Natal, and that was for a promise.
And the concept looked really amazing, and everyone
and
was like, "Ooh, it really
works." Was the year they executed on it? And it's like, oh, okay. So
yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. Yeah, that looked terrible.
Like, oh, you can scan your skateboard and go into the game. Like, nope, that doesn't happen. Oh, what about the basketball? Nope, there was a basketball dribble game for Kinect.
I think it didn't actually scan the basketball.
No, it didn't scan the basketball.
You use your own basketball.
It wasn't even the basketball. It just followed your hand movement.
Yeah, exactly. It just followed your hand.
Yeah, you could use a bowling ball for all they cared.
Yeah, it makes more sense. It makes more sense to do it with a basketball because your hands would naturally just follow the momentum, but it's not a big thing.
Yeah.
No, you remember those because of those instances, and not that you're totally right. Not because of the 2007 Nintendo thing had so much content that you remember.
Yeah, even the people mentioned like 2004 for Zelda, and then most of 2004 for Nintendo was whatever. Like it was the Zelda thing, and I think that was the introduction to Reggie. Those were the two big things. Even Nintendo's Digital Event from last year was great. I only really remember Splatoon, and the Yarn Yoshi amiibos that became
for,
a thing.
For me, I like the Robot Chicken things, but, you know, I'm weird. I like Robot Chicken, so...
Yeah, but I don't remember the jokes.
No, that's true. I don't remember the jokes.
The
I remember
fucking fight between Reggie and Iwata.
Oh, right. But yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I remember the joke where someone...
The Earthbound Mother 3.
Touching
like,
Iwata Earthbound 3, and then Venom said, ha, 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 no.
I don't think that was a joke. I think that was just letting people know it's never going to happen. In the same
deliberate
way.
Troll to all Nintendo fans who are watching.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, not to me. I don't honestly care. But, yeah, that's that. E3 shall be exciting. I have no idea what we're going to do. I always say we're going to do something for the site. But, I mean, I think most of us all live tweet the press conferences as it is, or as it's been common to know for most people, live snark in the press conferences.
Yeah,
That's half of the fun.
True.
Yeah, but by the time you do that, it's like, it makes no sense to write up anything because we all saw it at the same time. Because everybody live snarks it, and then you'll always get those people on your timeline, like, oh, it must be E3 because everybody's making the same joke. Or, like, oh, I guess so-and-so just got announced because it appeared on my timeline 50 times.
The
like,
thing is, though, it's sometimes just way too easy to come up with the same joke.
Oh, yeah, some of them really works. Like, I remember when Metroid Prime 4 trended when they announced Halo 4 on Twitter. Yeah. Mr. Caffeine was a good one. Oh, there was the Ultimate Bro from last year at EA's press conference.
Oh, right. Oh, God. The suit that the guy was wearing, God.
Peggle 2!
Yeah.
Girl Boner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the guy says all the feels.
Yeah.
That was so good. Oh, did you feel that all the feels?
And rest in peace, Simbro.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. I was going to die. There was one press conference that I absolutely hated, and that was EA's last year. I still don't think a press conference is when you show concept art for an hour. That's not a press conference. That's a team meeting.
It was.
Yeah,
it
and
was
the style that they're hosted in, like, the round tables, like you're at some gala, was also very, very strange.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, because in theory, they did the same thing that Nintendo did the day after, but Nintendo actually like sat them around places that made sense for their games, where EA's like they had the people talking about like, the extreme sports at their desk and their work environment. I'm like, how
and
is this
the pop, local pop?
Yeah, how is this interesting to us?
No idea.
Anyhow, we shall be back with all that wonderful E3 stuff. So I want to thank the Dutch Slayer for joining us on all these fun E3 journeys. And
yes,
I'm sure
you.
He'll be around afterwards to talk about and break down all these press conferences.
Sure.
I want to thank Jason who stood in who was around for some of them. Weekends are such great times during the summer because everybody wants to do anything but sit around a computer all day. Mm. And of course, I want to thank Martin and Daniel. And we'll see you after E3. Happy gaming.
On G4 live at E3. I can't believe it's for real. I just happened to flip on to G4. I can't even describe what I feel. Believe it or not, I'm watching E3. I never thought I'd get in so easily. Watch it all day. Sick-ass controller too, getting me psyched for release dates to come, making all of my wishes come true. Believe it or not, I'm watching E3. I never thought I'd get in so easily. Watch it all day in my beautiful chair. TV, lust for Xbox 2.